Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our power, is one. And this is the day that the Most High has made for us. Shabbat was made for us. And we recognize that. That's a sign between us and the Most High. Let's go before our Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Bless my brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of this earth that are scattered, that are trying to overcome all the obstacles that we go through because we're in captivity. I know you have a remnant. May your remnant be blessed and stand during this time. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. So be it. This is Blueprint for Life, and you are live on this radio station. And we're going to continue with what we've been studying. And we've been into war games, and trust me, the war games are on because spiritual warfare is a reality. It happens, it transpires. So I am V. Torah, and before we get into it, we're going to continue with everything we've been dealing with. I'm just trying to look at some of the notes that are here, and we're going to go into the first part, which is our herbs, healing, and deliverance, which is like the herbs of life. So, Tamar Tarah will do that.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. I am Sister Tamar. And today, instead of a herb, we're going to talk about a product. And everybody, I'm sure, has heard of apple cider vinegar. But as I was doing some research and reading about apple cider vinegar and what the uses are, I found it very intriguing. I think a lot of people use apple cider vinegar nowadays, you know, for salads, for weight loss. But there are a lot of good things that can be used with this apple cider vinegar. And I just want to go over it for this segment today. So what's in apple cider vinegar? There are some amino acids. There's calcium, there's chlorine, copper, fluorine, iron, magnesium, vitamins A, B1, B2, B6, vitamin C, vitamin E, and vitamin P. And so the description of it is an old-timer's home remedy. It cures more ailments than many of us think of. It also helps the balance, the pH in our bodies. Taking apple cider vinegar on a regular basis brings a rosy glow to the complexion. But many didn't know that, so now you're going to run out and go get stuff. But anyway, so internal uses, it has been beneficial in reducing cholesterol, regulating the water content in the cells and body, reducing water retention and excess sodium. It regulates blood pressure. It diminishes premature calcification of the arteries. It increases concentration and memory, and it improves overall circulation. It has also been used for allergies, including, you know, pet food and environmental allergies, sinus infections, asthma, diarrhea, acne, high cholesterol, flu, chronic fatigue, weight loss, acid reflux, sore throats, headaches, arthritis, and gout. And so you want to take, you know, a capful of apple cider straight, but you also want to make sure you have some water with you. One thing that this book doesn't tell you that by taking it straight, it can reduce the enamel of your teeth and destroy them. So make sure you dilute it with a little water. That way it's not destroying your teeth. Or if you do take it straight, just make sure you're rinsing your mouth out, rinsing that acid off of your teeth so you can have strong enamels and pretty teeth. And so with that said, that is our herbal healing and deliverance of the day.
All right, so Brother Ray, he's not with us today, but he's in our prayers, and he's got some other things going on. Praises to the Most High, and bless him and his family. And we're going to continue this. Series on war games. Last week we were in Amos the 9th chapter, and we're going to go to Obadiah this week, because Obadiah is really like right there as it pertains to what's going to transpire in the day, as they say, the day of the Lord. So we'll go into that, and take it from there. So if you read, go ahead.
So the book of Obadiah, verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Thus said the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her battle. Verse 2, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. Verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rocks, whose habitation is high, that said in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?
Let me qualify this once again, because we went into this because, let me explain this. Do not think that the weapons of warfare that man is creating has anything to do with you. Yes, they do have race-specific weapons. They do have weapons that can contain people and deal with them when they're in riots, which is why you shouldn't be out there marching in the streets and protesting. But the majority of the weapons that have been created are to prepare for the Valley of Megiddo and the Valley of Decisions, when the Most High will return. And for some reason or another, Satan has these nations believing, because he contributes to them, has them believing that they will be able to fight against the Most High when he returns. They know that the way he went up into heaven is the way he will return. And the book of Jude tells us that he will return with 10,000 of his saints, and that the ones that are here will be transformed. Don't get it twisted. Thessalonians says that the remnant that will see him when he returns will be transformed and will be just like him. Do you know how scary that is to them? Right. So let's kill them now, or destroy as many of them as possible so that they won't be transformed and be like him. So these weapons, as I talked about last week, and listen to last week's show, as I talked about, they are being created to try and fight against something that they can't destroy. It's impossible. So let's read this entire book of Obadiah, and you'll see how this is going. Go ahead.
And so when Brother V talks about they want to kill off as many of the saints that they can, you know, they're not only killing us in the street, they're also killing us, you know, trying to kill us, rather, can I say, excuse me, in everything we do, keeping us from getting jobs that will, you know, bring war in our home because there's no income, you know, keeping us from getting things that we need as his people to live, to strive. So that will and ultimately, and their goal is going to weaken us. And so, you know, that's why, you know, the suicide rate is going up. There's division in homes. There's chaos on the jobs. But it's because they're trying to keep us distracted and keep us to go against the Most High commandments. And so when he does come, he won't find anyone to help him do battle.
When I come back, will I find faith in the earth? Meaning, when I come back, will you be doing what I've asked you to do, which is pretty much keep these Ten Commandments? And I know life and times are difficult, so I'll say going into a lesson like this is stirring up the pot, because we talk about war games. This is part two of war games, and I want you to listen to part one. Yeah, the war games that they're practicing, we're gonna go into like different parts, but the war games they're practicing is to prepare for the return of Yeshua, who you ignorantly, the people, call Jesus Christ, because the letter J didn't come about until 500 years ago. My point is that, and I have to go into different sections for this. So the war games is because Satan, Hashatan, and the fallen angels are down here with their artillery, but it doesn't even match what the Most High is coming down here with to destroy him and remove our captivity. Obadiah is going to cover all this. It talks about it, and it's amazing that Obadiah is just one chapter. But it shows everything and reveals everything. We are in war games. And the reason we're doing this, because I know that we go through a lot of warfare, spiritual warfare in our homes, our lives, and everything we have to deal with. But it's ultimately about being prepared. All right, go ahead.
Verse 4. Thou though exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord, if these came to thee. If robbers by not, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out?
Esau.
How are his hidden things sought up? All of the men of the confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were of peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee, that they eat thy bread, have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him.
Wait. There is none understanding in him. It makes it clear right there, which is why he's the adversary. Go ahead.
Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau?
Mm.
And thy mighty, O Timon, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter for thy violence against thy brother Jacob. Shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever.
For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, the things that they take our people through, and the things that we go through in this earth, in this land, so despised, so shot down, so hated, and made to feel like we're less than. This is prophetic. And people have the nerve to call this a minor prophet. No, this is prophecy, period. Jacob? Who's Jacob? Judah, the seed, the 12 tribes scattered throughout the four corners. You, brothers and sisters, you are hated and despised and cut off. Let's go ahead.
Verse 11, the day that thou settest on the outside, other side, and the day that the strangers carried away captive his horses and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou waste as one of them. But thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldst thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldst not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldst not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress.
So, this is how serious this thing is about war games. I said it last week. I want you to listen to that show last week, and I'm going to say it again now. They captured our records. This so-called Bible is the Hebrew history book, and it lets you know who you are. This is about destroying you and erasing you off the face of the earth. And the only way you can survive is by keeping these Ten Commandments. The only way, which is why the Shabbat is so serious, it's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I think that we don't take this serious about how this could jeopardize your life and the remnant of the people. Very serious. Obadiah is a prophetic book that tells you what happened, why it happened, explains Deuteronomy 28, the curses, and what's going to transpire. But that's only going to be for a certain group of people. Now let's go to verse 15, because it talks about how Yasha'Allah, Israel, will win.
Obadiah, verse 15. For the day of the Lord is here upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy head.
So you don't think that, like us coming back in the 1400s and all that, us coming into captivity, being slaves, picking cotton, kissing the ass, and doing everything we were supposed to do? You don't think that was the captivity we were in? Raped women? Screwed our women? Women screwed the men? Beat us? Hung us? Burnt us? Are you serious? No, we have not forgot. And we will not forget. He's talking about in verse 15. Read 15 again.
For the day of the Lord is here upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee.
Go! Go ahead.
The reward shall return upon thy own head. Verse 16. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down. And they shall be as though they have not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession.
Okay, so Mount Zion, yes. As it said, we will inherit what was supposed to be ours, but I got to say it like this. We pissed him off because we wanted to be like the other nations and not keep his commandments. And so the first part of Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings, but the curses that are upon us, they all poured upon us. And if you read the scriptures and you pull it up, these other nations know that we forsook our God. And that's why we're in the position we're in. But their fear is us. Their fear is us coming back to our God and to our nation and to our understanding. And so what can we do to keep them from coming back into it? What can we do to keep them from understanding that they don't need the commandments? What can we do to keep our people thrown off? These are the war games. That's what this is. I pray for you, brothers and sisters, that you understand that the war games are so spiritual that they creep in. They creep in amongst your house, amongst your family, amongst your job, everything. They don't want you to make it. Let's finish this.
Verse 18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and they shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain of Philistine, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of these hosts of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even under Zerahathan, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in, say that, Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. The Savior shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. The kingdom shall be the Lord.
So we have here the prophecy of what transpired and what's going to transpire. Let me say this, because we're going to continue with this. Amos, the ninth chapter we did last week, and Obadiah this week. We're going to Joel, the third chapter, and we were going to the book of Jude. So we're talking about war games, but then we're going to have to go into spiritual war games, because there is spiritual warfare going on, and it's going to get tough because the Most High is on his way back. He's returning. And Satan knows who his people are, according to Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were formed in the belly, I knew you, called you, prophesied, sanctified you. He knows who you are. He can't stand you, the ones that are called and that are anointed. So crap is always going on around you. Now, it's just all about how you're going to deal with it and how you're going to stand while you're going through it. That's what it's about. It's just like how you transpire. Go ahead.
And we just want to make sure that we are ready when he calls us, you know, and that comes with strengthening our relationship with him. We have to make sure that we're doing, keeping these commandments. We have to make sure we're doing everything we can possible, because when he does call, we want to be ready. He's not going to pick up those that are dwelling in weakness and self-pity and sadness and, you know, just looking for something. He's looking for those who are faithful. He's looking for those who love him. He looks for those who are not going to compromise in any situation. He's looking for those that can stand the test. And that's why I think we go through a lot on this earth. A lot of trials, a lot of tribulation. He's just testing our faith. Are you able to stand? Can I count on you when times get rough? Can I count on you to be there with me as I am with you when times start to get rough? Or are you going to cower down and seek refuge among the heathen?
Okay, you're right. You're right. And we don't say this as if we are so invincible or standing. We know what we go through ourselves, and know that when we start preaching and teaching like this,
He's talking to us as we are speaking to the airwaves. He's speaking through us to us as well as to you.
Right. It's gonna come against us by having the nerve to take a stand against Satan and talk about him and expose him. Then it's gonna come. So I pray that the ultimate goal is that even though we will take a stand and fight and teach this, that you'll be encouraged and blessed to know that, I got to do this because it's that serious. These are war games. It's serious. It's serious. So look at the war games that the nations are doing, Korea, Russia, everybody getting prepared. Man, they're not thinking about you.
So while you're trying to figure out what's going on with your own life and trying to get in these Gentiles, these heathen nations with these Gentiles, they're ready to destroy us. And so when he tells us to get up out of this world, he means it. Keep your mind and your heart and everything stayed on me. Don't be distracted. The enemy's going to throw curveballs at you just to get you distracted. But as long as you stand strong, as long as you're encouraged, as long as you have forgiven those who have wronged you and seek the Most High to get you through this, you will win. You will win the war. Whatever the enemy throws at you, you're going to win. We got to be strong.
We got to be strong because it may seem like that this is not that serious at times because you're desensitized by the media and by movies and TV and everything, but it is that serious. As I said last week, every time they found our records in the caves of Qumran, and when they conquered our people, and the first thing they wanted to do was get our records, our books, and figure out who we are. Do you know how great it is to be the people of the Most High that he says he loves, and you're the only family I've ever known? Do you know how much people hate that? People hate that. You are the people. Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9 tells you that everybody else who claims to be us is false. You are a chosen people, gifted, talented. And the book tells us, in the book of Jude, as we continue with war games, coming back with 10,000 of his angels to protect us and keep us, I can give a damn about Donald Trump and everything else that's going on and what's going on. If you keep these commandments, you will be okay.
No, he said you'll be blessed if you keep my commandments. You'll be blessed, right?
Yeah.
Blessed upon any measure. You know, the fact that what Brother V was talking about, to know that you are the people, to know that you are the chosen one. Why are we walking around here like we're bums? Why are we walking around here like we're scared? Like we don't know who we are. Half of us don't because we want to be like someone else. But those of us who do, our chest, men should be out. Women, we should have that humble spirit, that loving spirit, and caring and understanding of who we are. We shouldn't be letting things that come around us move and keep our spirit unsettled, especially when we know who we are. It's a great thing. Our brother V said, it's a great thing to know that I, Tamar, Brother B, you brothers and sisters, I am the chosen people. All he asked me to do is keep these commandments, and I will be blessed.
Let me read the book of Jude, since we're doing war games, too. There's so much in there. Book of Jude is like Obadiah, just one chapter. Boom. That's what it is. And I could pick any verse, but I've been commenting on the fact that, listen to this, verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Yeshua Mashiach, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, and having not the spirit, sensual, moved by passion, moved by lust, sensual. How much do you see that sensuality in these Christian churches now? Faggotry. How much do you see that? People talk about how I feel, or what I feel, or moved by how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit checks you. The spirit checks you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says right here, they'll be moved by sensuality and having not the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple or house.
Right.
And when that spirit is inside you, it checks you and moves you in the right way. And it moves you in a way that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like it. You don't like it. Why? Because it's cleaning out the clock. It's cleaning out the sensuality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uncomfortable when it starts to clean out.
Right.
The majority of your Christian churches are being sensually led. I'd say 98%. There's no more spirit up in there. So the truth of the matter is that you keep these commandments, spirit gets in you, it cleans you out and lets you know what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Jude furthermore talks about verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. These are things we have to understand. And when we understand what Jude was talking about, Enoch, and they try to keep you out of the book of Enoch in the church. Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and he prophesied these things about the judgment, convincing all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This is a man who walked with the Most High, went in and out of heaven, and then the Most High just called him to heaven and said, he's not going to die. Somebody, you going to let somebody tell you not to read the book of Enoch? And the Most High cherished him so much that he called him home? Like, just come up here and be with me. You know why that was? Because he sacrificed his own life. Gave up all ungodly things and just wanted to know more about who the Most High was. But at the same time, let's remember, the book of Jude tells us that Yeshua, in the day of the Lord, as you read in the Bible, is coming back to avenge those that are keeping these commandments and to take care of us. Go ahead.
And I'm sorry, verse 23 in Jude. And others say, fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garments spotted by the flesh. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever.
All praise to the Most High. So, brothers and sisters, with these, with this lesson on war games, I'm trying to keep a focus on certain things. We started last week talking about Amos, the ninth chapter, but at the same time, don't be deceived or worried about what everybody else as far as Russia, Korea, and everybody is doing, because the war games are multifaceted. It's like it's a spiritual war game. You got to keep. You got to maintain. You just got to, like, pull it down and just keep your focus. Wow. At the same time, there's going to be a serious physical war game. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Armageddon, Megiddo, the Valley of Decisions, it's coming. It's going to happen. But we're not afraid of it. These things that they're seeing in the sky, these there are fallen angels that are here on the earth that have been kicked out of the heavens. They are here. And the scripture says, be careful how you entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. Do you know that you have encountered angels? And that's the same thing for fallen demons too? Every time you walk out your door,
right,
you got to be ready. You're like, you don't know what you're dealing with.
Right. We just have to be prepared at all times. We don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know what's out there, but you have to be prepared. And the only way we can be prepared, like Brother V said, is strengthening our relationship with the Most High and keeping His commandments, making sure we're staying focused on what He tells us to do. We have to be about our Father's business, because when the time comes, He's not going to waste any time about His business.
Right. Right. Absolutely right. I mean, I don't say this to put you in fear. I just say this to keep you in check. Keep you in check about praying before you leave your home.
Praying throughout the day.
Trying to keep the commandments.
Right.
Fighting your temptations and your lust. And just stand away from it, because this is a war. It's a war. This is warfare. And, you know, I was inspired last week to talk about this. And I know that when you talk about certain things, you better be prepared to deal with it yourself. And that's the responsibility that people who want to teach and preach, that's what they have. Don't make us no better than nobody else. But we do everything we can to warn our brothers and sisters that it's going to be tough out here, but you can make it, because Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against us can prosper. And then I also let you know that greater is that's in us than anything that's in the world. And if the Most High be for us, who can be against us? He's got your back.
Well, before we get off the air, I always, on my show, Heart of a Hebrew Woman.
Oh, it's your show.
The Most High Show, The Heart of a Hebrew Woman. My bad. I always like to go over the Ten Commandments, and the reason being is that we're advocating people to keep the Ten Commandments. Some people don't know what they are, and so when you don't know what they are, where to find them, you'll just make up anything and believe that, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But it is in our great book that our Abba has given us. He has given us the blueprint for our lives, as we call this station, on what we should be doing in order to complete our journey. So I'm just going to go over them briefly in Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Just go through them. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of men that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name thy Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do our work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days upon this land, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. This is the blueprint for life.
Your obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Shabbat Shalom.
God.